And joining us to take a look at the science news this week is Phil Robinson. He's from the Royal Society of Chemistry's Chemistry World magazine, and also Laurie Winkless from the National Physical Laboratory. So hello to both of you. Phil, kick off and tell us why it is that smell might be all about vibrations.
So, Chris, we've got a story here, a really fascinating story, I think, about a controversial theory about the way in which our sense of smell works. Now, just as a bit of background, the sense of smell is not terribly well understood, or at least the model that we have for it doesn't explain all of the evidence. So we know that in order to smell something, the molecule that makes that smell, if you like, has to make its way into your nose. And in your nose, you have some receptors, olfactory receptors. They pick up this molecule, and that's the mechanism of smelling something.
So everyone thought it's just that chemicals go up your nose and they dock with the receptor that is the right shape for that molecule. You get a change in the activity of that receptor, which gets into the brain, and the brain says, aha, that particular odorant molecule is there.
Exactly. Bacon or Chanel number 5 or whatever it happens to be.
Sounds good to me. So what's wrong with that theory?
Well, so that theory, there's nothing really wrong with that theory. That's quite a well-established theory for biochemical interactions. The molecule docks with the receptor. It essentially boils down to shape recognition. You know, the molecule has a shape, the receptor has a complementary shape, the two come together, the lock and key mechanism, as it's often called. The problem is with smell is that we have some exceptions to that rule. So, for example, you can have two quite distinct molecules. So if you take, for example, the musk smell, which will be relevant later, the muscone molecule, which is made by the musk deer, actually, and was used a lot in the fragrance industry, is a sort of 15-membered carbon ring, if you like. Quite a big molecule. But the synthetic musks that then went on to replace muscone in the fragrance industry, there are a whole range of these, and they all have very, very different shapes. The nitrile musks, the first that came along, for example, have a benzene ring with various other constituents on it. And structurally, morphologically, they're quite distinct, but they have exactly the same smell. So this doesn't quite fit with our idea that shape recognition is what brings about smell.
So are they really such a different shape that they can't sneak into the same receptor that would detect the musk and fool it into thinking it's smelling that when it's not really?
They really are. Structurally, as I said, morphologically and chemically distinct as well. You know, the differences really are quite striking.
So this says there must be something else going on.
So exactly. There must be something else happening. What is it? So enter Luca Turin from the Alexander Fleming Research Centre in Athens. And he's got a slightly controversial, but a very controversial idea about how smell works. He says that actually, when it comes to smelling, olfaction, it's really got nothing to do with shape recognition at all. And in fact, it's another property of the molecule. It's motions, more specifically, the vibrations of the molecule. So in a molecule, the bonds between those atoms in the molecule, they're not static. They move. They vibrate. The atoms will vibrate along the bonds between them. And Luca says that actually that's what the receptor recognises. It recognises these vibrations. In effect, it reads the vibrational spectrum, if you like, of the molecule and responds to that and not to its shape.
How on earth would it do that?
The theory that he puts forward is that, and we have to veer briefly into the world of quantum mechanics here, but we shan't stay for very long, so don't get too worried. There is a proposal that there's a mechanism known as quantum tunnelling. Now, just to explain that very briefly, on the classical scale, the scale that you and I operate on, the macroscopic scale, where everything is the size of us, if you like, or relative, it's impossible for something to pass through a barrier unless it has sufficient energy to cross that barrier. A ball will not roll up the hill unless you give it sufficient energy to go up the hill. On the quantum scale, when you get down to the level of atoms, it doesn't quite hold true anymore. Quantum mechanics allows that object, whatever it is, and in this case we'll talk about an electron, allows that electron to exist, to have a probability beyond the barrier. And that quantum tunnelling can be assisted by the vibrations of the molecule. That can provide the energy to inject, to allow this tunnelling process to take place.
So what's their evidence that this has actually got some weight behind it?
Exactly. So how does he set about proving that this is the case? Well, he does this by, if we talk about that vibration again, if you imagine two balls on a spring, the spring will vibrate with a certain frequency. If you replace one of those balls with a heavier ball or a lighter ball, the frequency of the vibration will change. So that's effectively what Luca does in his experiments. He takes the hydrogen atoms and he replaces them with deuterium atoms. Now, deuterium is an isotope of hydrogen. It's basically exactly the same as hydrogen.
But a bit heavier.
But a bit heavier. Twice as heavy, in fact. It has a neutron in the nucleus as well as the proton, whereas hydrogen only has a proton in its nucleus. So it's twice as heavy. So by replacing the hydrogens with deuterium, he makes that atom heavier, that component of the molecule heavier. The vibrational frequency of the bond will change. And if vibration does indeed have an impact on smell, then we ought to see some effect.
And if you make molecules that have got lots of deuterium in them to make them heavier, do people smell the same thing differently?
This is exactly what Luca has done in his latest experiment. So he takes a molecule, cyclopentadecanone, which again has a musky smell, and he systematically replaces the hydrogen atoms with deuteriums. It doesn't happen straight away, but when you replace about half of the atoms, the subjects that were given these scents to smell reported that at around about that point they become more burnt, they become muskier. So there is some evidence that perhaps Luca's got onto something.
So smell is actually all down to vibration. That's actually amazing.